with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Thirteen minutes after 5 o'clock, final hour of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL with me, Andy Bull Barch, and Matt Douglas. 6 o'clock tonight, we jump off, and the Buckeye Roundtable begins as they discuss this Saturday's grueling matchup against those Golden Gophers of Minnesota. And we'll have that for you here on AM 930 WEOL, pregame action beginning at 10:30. 1 week from today, not only will AM 930 WEOL celebrate our open house to commemorate our 70th anniversary, it'll be 70 years to the day, 1 week from today, that AM 930 WEOL went on the air, but it also marks the beginning of the Cleveland Cavaliers 2018-19 campaign. Hard to believe, but the season is almost here. And here to talk some Cleveland Cavaliers basketball with us right now is Rick Nolan with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Rick, great to have you on as always, my friend. And boy, before we get going with this Cleveland Cavalier talk, I've got to get your thoughts on Jimmy Butler showing up to camp with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Of course, he's been a name that's been tossed out there in the midst of trade rumors for at least the last month and change. Now, apparently he showed up, put on a display in practice, but used some colorful language directed towards his general manager, and also had run-ins with a couple of teammates. Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns were two guys apparently he called out in practice. You know, the Cavaliers at one point were rumored to be one of the teams in trade talks with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm not sure if that was realistic or not, but boy, Rick, just so interesting to see a guy like this in the midst of all this. I can't believe that with the feud he's had with his front office, that he actually showed up to a practice. Are you?
You know, not shocked by it, but I'd be surprised if they have him back for another one. That they can't afford to have that continue to go on. And certainly it looks like he wants out of there at all costs, and he doesn't care what short-term and potentially long-term damage he might be doing to his own reputation. So, I mean, that may have been a one-day show-up just to drive home the point that I want out of Minnesota and get me out now. Certainly doesn't put the Timberwolves in a good situation because there's, you know, he only wants to go to a handful of teams, really, on top of that. And nobody's going to take him unless they have a reasonable expectation of re-signing him, because he's going to want 5 years and $190 million next summer. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't see how Minnesota can take the hardline approach and leave him there completely unhappy for an entire season. You know, there were people that thought that the Cavs should have done that with Kyrie last year. And, you know, this is what can happen if players make it clear they want out and teams don't accommodate that. You always run this risk, especially in this day and age where you're so salary cap conscious and future conscious and culture conscious. You know, the weird thing is, well, I really don't think he's as good a player as he thinks he is. And by that I mean he's an all-star, but he's never won anything. And he's not going to be the best player on a team and lead him to any type of playoff success. He might not even be able to be the second best player unless you have a really good third best who's close to him. So we'll see. I think he'll land somewhere. He won't be here. I don't think Cavs can afford to take the risk of not signing him at the end of the year. I really don't think they have enough to offer him either. So good luck to him. Good luck. More luck to Minnesota. They don't really deserve this. So we'll just have to see how it all plays out.
I would agree he's not ending up here, and sometimes it's a blessing in disguise that you don't have enough bullets in the chamber to go get a guy like this. Rick, with the Cavs heading into a season with a great deal of unknowns, I don't know what to take out of these preseason games. They have one more left against the Pistons in a couple of days here, but based on what you've seen and what you've experienced so far, what are some of your general impressions of this new-look Cavalier team through a few of these preseason games?
Well, quick recap, I was pleasantly surprised with how well they played both games against Boston. And then, you know, Monday against Indiana, particularly in the first half when it really mattered, they looked woeful. So I think that kind of serves as a microcosm of what the season's going to be. There's going to be nights when everything clicks and shots are going down where they could be a pretty entertaining team to watch. And there's probably going to be just as many nights when not everyone's clicking, shots aren't going in, and that fast pace leads to many more runouts and easy buckets for the opponent than for them. So I don't have really any expectations about this season at all, other than that they play hard, that they play as a team, and that they're hopefully for them better at the end of the season than they are at the beginning. But, you know, the playoffs is always a goal, but I don't see it. I haven't picked an exact win total yet. I'm kind of waffling somewhere between 31 and 34. But it doesn't mean it can't be fun to watch and that you can't find entertaining and encouraging things to like about them along the way.
Let's stick with that for a moment here, because I know originally you tweeted this out a couple days ago. Originally, you had predicted 31 wins, but then you tweeted out, you know what, I'm up to 33. So clearly you saw something that impressed you enough to mention that there are at least two wins better than you originally thought. But, you know, why the two-game uptick? What was it specifically that you saw, or what were the series of things that you saw that made you think they might be at least a little bit better?
Well, let's put that into context. The 31 was before they played a preseason game, and the 33 was before they played the Pacers. So I'm kind of waffling back towards 31 at the moment. I like the fact that everybody seems to be buying in and that they're going to play as a team without a superstar. You know, Kevin Love's a star, but I think to put him in the superstar category is a bit of a reach. You know, they're going to attempt to be a poor man's Utah Jazz, where everybody fills their role. You know, everybody attempts to make everybody else better, and you know, in an ideal world, maybe their whole is greater than the sum of their parts. But you know, you got to figure out, you know, you got to count on Kevin Love missing 15 to 20 games if you go by his history. You know, is Rodney Hood going to be the player he was in Utah prior to the trade, or is he continue going to be kind of good one night and lost the next two, as he was for most of last year? Who's going to score is, you know, one of my questions. Love is obviously going to be their leader. I won't be shocked if Colin Sexton ends up second on the team, simply because I think he's going to play a lot of minutes and he can create his own shot and he takes a lot of them. But I just don't know. The East is still not real good after your top five, maybe six teams. So you're going to have a lot of games you can compete in. Whether you can win without a LeBron or a LeBron and a Kyrie to carry you down the stretch in the style they're going to play, you know, it remains to be seen. Some nights they will, and, you know, other nights they don't have that guy that they can put the ball in his hands and say, here, make something happen. I think there's going to be some highs and there's going to be some stretches of lows where they just don't seem to be playing real well. But I think and I hope what we will see is that they will play hard. They will at least go out there thinking, if we play our very best, we give ourselves a chance to win. You know, unlike 10-11 when they lost 26 in a row at 36-37, you're not going to see anything remotely close to that. They have some legit players, and they'll compete. But, you know, competing is different than winning, and we'll just have to see, you know, how many times that competitiveness and desire and teamwork, you know, gets them in the win column.
We're talking Cavs with Rick Nolan of the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rick, the fascinating thing about this year's team, too, is that there are so many unknowns. I mean, you had alluded to Rodney Hood. You know, which Rodney Hood are you going to get? Right. The guy that showed up every night in Utah, or the guy, as you mentioned, that showed up one night, then disappeared the next two. Another guy I think you could certainly put in that same category would be Jordan Clarkson. Now, reading up on him a little bit earlier, he's apparently changed his diet and his workout routine in the offseason, and it seems like that's made at least a little bit of a difference. Have you noticed any change in him so far this offseason?
Well, he does seem to be in better shape. Again, you know, he's a guy that he can score. Nobody ever questioned that. Even when he was struggling last year, does his scoring make the team better? He may be destined to be the proverbial pretty good player, but only on a not very good team type of player. But that doesn't mean he can't help them this year, because they need scoring. And he's a guy that can get them points in bunches, particularly when he's hot. It's going to be up to Ty Lue, like it's going to be up to him on so many things this year, to push the right buttons, to ride him when he's hot and to save him from himself when he's not. I think we'll see a better Ty Lue this year, because he's got he's got all the latitude in the world to do what he sees fit with this team. And he's going to have to do that, because they have, 9, 10, 11 guys where there's not a whole lot of difference in their talent level. You know, once you just get past Love, Sexton, and maybe in that next level you put, Jetty Rodney Hood. But other than that, it's going to be mixing and matching, and big or small. I think they'll play small more than big, because they don't have a lot of bigs. But it's going to be Ty Lue's going to have a lot of decisions to make, and I think he's looking forward to it. Actually, there's just such a different atmosphere around this team, and I don't mean that they're not competitive and don't want to win, but it's not the everybody looking over the shoulder on their toes. What's LeBron going to want next? What's he going to say? How do we make sure he's happy so he comes back? He's gone. And it just seems to me that the atmosphere, there's, one-tenth of the media members now. There were like six people in the interview room post-game Monday night after the Pacers. Last year there'd be 25 people at shoot-around for those type of games. So it's different. It'll be fun to see how it unravels. Unfolds. That might have been a Freudian slip there.
Sure.
But I expect them to be fun to watch. I don't expect them to make the playoffs. I there are a lot of people in the Cleveland media that do. I think that's a little bit wishful thinking when you consider they were barely the 4 seed last year. But we'll see. If I'm wrong, my job will be a lot more fun, because that means they'll be playing, past mid-April, and then there'll be some genuinely interesting storylines to follow. But we'll have to see. This is about as, I asked a guy I really trust the other day, what do you think they can win? He said, well, they could win 25 or they could win 43. You can make an argument for going anywhere in that spectrum, and argue for it. But I would counter that I could just as easily argue against either end of that spectrum and tell you why it's not going to be true.
Rick, you talked a little bit about Ty Lue, and you think he's in a bit of a nice place for himself here. I was curious on that going into this season because I thought, you know, the pressure's off. As you mentioned, there's not as much media following him. He doesn't have LeBron James. He's actually going to be a bigger role in coaching, I would think, this season. But he's also a guy who had health issues with what he faced last year. Do you get the sense that he feels like he's in a better place right now and can kind of calm down, or is there still some worry there?
Well, yeah, I mean, he did something to his foot. He's been walking with a limp, but it's getting better. I think, though, the stress level is incredibly lower this year. Mm-hmm. And I think he's such a nice guy. But he also has players, most of whom, if not all of whom, still have something to prove in this league. And are going to buy in to what he wants them to do. Everybody says they want to play fast, but he harps on it. We got to play faster, but also smart. And that's the way players want to play. So, you know, he's giving him that free rein, and we'll see how it all works out. Like I said, there's going to be nights when it looks great. Hey, there might be quarters when it looks great, and then a quarter when it looks like they've never seen a basketball in their life. It's going to be that kind of up and down season from half to half, quarter to quarter, and game to game, certainly from week to week and month to month.
Rick, we'll cut you loose on this. And, you know, I guess this could be for better or for worse, but of the guys who are returning from last year, who have you noticed the biggest change in? Again, it could be for better or for worse, but of the guys coming back from last year, who were the guys that you noticed the biggest change in?
Well, I'll give you a couple. Clarkson, as you mentioned, is in better shape. He seems to play better when he gets the ball in his hands more often as opposed to watching number 23 dribble it. Rodney Hood has been good at times and just the same old Rodney Hood that he was last year at others. I think Kyle Korver's enjoying this because he's running off of a ton more screens, both on and off ball, than he did last year, as opposed to standing behind the 3-point line and just waiting for LeBron to draw defenders and kick. But I think of all the people, the guy that seems the most confident and most relaxed to take a decent step up, you want to take a guess what I'm going to say?
The most relaxed and willing
the
to step
The most relaxed and ready to take a pretty big step up from last year.
Boy, Chetty?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. He had some foot soreness the other night and didn't play much, but, you know, he's a kind of kid that's going to be a bit of a small-time stat sheet stuffer, in that he's gonna get you 5-6 rebounds, 7 rebounds most nights. He's going to have a lot of games where he gets you 3-7 assists. He should be a double-figure scorer, very low teens, just based on playing time alone. And he's also going to be asked to guard the opponent's best scorer at the shooting guard small forward position. They're going to task him with that as well. Now, that didn't go well at all, the 7 minutes he played Monday night, because the Cavs were taking such poor shots and their transition defense was so atrocious that Oladipo was making layups or passing for layups many times before Jetty even had a chance to get over to him, because they were cross-matched at the other end of the floor. But I just get a confidence from him that he knows he can play in this league and that he can do a lot of things. I think there's going to be decent stretches this year where he's going to function as their point small forward. They've already had him running the offense a handful of times in these preseason games, particularly against Boston, and he's good at that. And he sees the court very, very well. You know, the question is, can he shoot it well enough that it opens up driving lanes for him? But I expect him to be, by the time the year's over, like a 13-6-4 guy, 13.6 rebounds and 4 assists.
Okay, nice numbers. Now, let me ask you this. Do you anticipate that he's going to start more games than he comes off the bench?
I think he's your starter for sure.
Okay.
I'm locked in on Lovett, power forward, Jetty, Rodney Hood at the 2-3 positions, whichever way you want to go and what positions you want to say they're playing. They're basically interchangeable parts at shooting guard and small forward. So those three, I think, are set in stone. If I had to bet $10 on it right now, I would say that George Hill is going to be the starting point guard, but I don't think he's going to stay there long. Sexton is just too good. His future is, you know, very exciting. And George Hill's a 32-year-old guy who's not really in the Cavs' long-term plan. So if Hill does start, and I think he will for a little bit, it won't be long before they go to Sexton. Center, I really haven't been able to get a good feel for. Nance has started the last two, I think. But I still think to start the year, Tristan might be the starter on opening night. But that's kind of the biggest flip a coin position still for me, and I haven't really gotten an indication from Ty or anyone else on whether there's a strong leaning or whether that decision's even been made yet there. So that's how I think they'll start out. And you know, after that, who plays how much, I think will change some. I don't know still what JR's role is going to be. I think Korver's a lock to play off the bench. I think whoever doesn't start between Hill and Sexton will play a lot off the bench. I can't remember whether I said Clarkson. He's going to play. I think Sam Decker's going to get some minutes. I get the feeling that the guy who's going to be left out of the rotation, because my hunch is they're going to rely on rotating those three bigs that we've already talked about between two spots, is Ante Zizic. And I hope he actually gets a chance before the year's over, because every time he plays, whether it's against good players or whether it's against guys who are going to be in the G League or in the Euro League in another week, he puts up numbers. But right now, he's only played at the tail end of all three of these preseason games. And it's been when all their other figure-to-be regulars have already been on the bench. So that's kind of how I see the rotation breaking down. Sam Decker, I think I said a few minutes here and there, but you know, those things could change. If you're not getting it done, maybe somebody else gets a shot. Like I said before, there's not a lot of difference, I think, between, you know, player 4 and player 13.
Going to be interesting. And again, the Cavaliers kicked their season off 1 week from today. Rick, a pleasure as always, my friend, and we look forward to doing this again soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you.
Thank you, Rick. Again, Rick Nolan with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette talking Cavalier basketball with us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's step aside and get to a break. In just a couple of minutes, we'll get to Matt Douglas in the local news. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
The Lorain County Veteran Service Commission is dedicated to a